Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening and welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe?
I am good. I'm loving this red colour on you, Bob. It really suits you.
Oh, thank you. Do you know, I kind of like a little bit of red, but I don't wear it often.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking I'm into it. But yeah, I'm all good. Do you know what? I'm tired, but we're going to power through. Nothing, I'm not going to complain. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, I've been a bit of a busy man. And I had my family visiting on the weekend, so it's been, that was pretty full on, I'm not going to lie. The kids get up, well, they're up from like 6:30, but dead on 7. You know, I was being woken up, which is like the time I get up in the week if I'm going into the office. So on a Sunday, you're a bit like,
ugh. That's only the time you're getting home on a Sunday.
Now and again. Yeah, definitely. It's been busy. How are you, Bob? You all right?
I'm really good, thank you. Really good, babe. I wanted to ask if she was going to go Tower of London. How was it?
Yeah, it was good, actually. The kids, like, loved it. I think because there's so much kind of, like history you can really see there. So, you know, they're showing you, like, they obviously love the room where people used to get tortured in. really wanted to see that. And, you know, that my eldest nephew's been learning about Henry VIII. So we saw where Anne Boleyn was beheaded. and we had a talk from one of the, they're called yeomen, the men that wear all the big beefeater outfits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had a little, sort of not tour, but like he sort of did a little thing for a big group of people. And, you know, the crown jewels, they loved that. They wanted to go around again and again. But they were like, they're not real though, are they? And I was like, no, they are real. That is like real diamonds. Like they couldn't like understand that like you'd be able to get so close to like such expensive jewellery.
Do they still have the birds there? Because I haven't been since I was so little. And I'd love to do it as an adult because I would appreciate it so much more. But I remember loving it there. I loved a bit of history.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. They've got the birds. And they've also, I forgot from when I went last time, they've got like... this whole section about the wild animals that used to live in the tower. So over the years, it was basically like a zoo, essentially. But they didn't like cage the animals, so you'd have like lions and stuff roaming around. Like, and then apparently, eventually, about 100 years ago, they decided that, do you know what, enough people have been killed or had their, you know, hand ripped off by a tiger. That maybe we should stop doing this. So, yeah, I was learning all about that. And it was just, it was a really lovely morning. And then we went out for a nice lunch that my mum very kindly paid for. So thanks for that, mum.
That's always nice. Always lovely.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a very wholesome weekend.
It sounds like a danger. I mean, obviously, I know it was dangerous because of the Beatties, but what with lions, he was either going to, the chances were he was going to lose an hand or an head. Well, not a head, there's only one head.
Yeah, your singular head.
Yeah, if it's somewhere I would have swerved back in the day.
I would probably be inclined to agree with you on that. But yeah, no, I would thoroughly recommend it for a little day out, especially if, like you said, you're a history buff. So yeah.
I'm going to do it, babes. I'm going to go check it out.
What have you been up to? Exciting?
I have. So I can't say too much about it, but I've just finished filming something which has been so fun. The minute I can speak about it, you'll be the first to know.
Of course.
And everyone at home. But that's been really nice. And really fun. Completely out of my comfort zone. Something a little bit different.
Was it nice
doing
a bit of TV again?
Yeah, do you know what it was? It was nice to kind of get back. And I know we slowly, compared to where we were even a few months ago, every bit of time that passed, I feel like we get a little bit more normality back, pre everything back. But just nice to be back in a studio. Obviously, still very much every day. Having PCRs, which I think is going to continue for a long time, especially in telly.
Yeah.
Because you have to make sure, obviously, everyone, not just my side of the camera, but the crew, everyone has to be tested, obviously. It was really nice to get back in the studio.
Back in the saddle.
back in the saddlebag, riding that horse.
No, it's good. Well, I can't wait to see it whenever it comes out. But it has been a fairly busy week in the old showbiz goss, hasn't it?
Hasn't it? So, I mean, now, I'm not going to start with Kardashian news this week, which is a shock. You know, it's a staple item for our gossip here on AAO. But I think we've got to touch upon it because we've spoke about it in so much detail in the last year and a half or so. But Britney Spears announced that she's pregnant.
I know, right?
Can you believe it? I mean, I kind of think I could see it coming. The minute they kind of took the conservatorship away, I knew it wouldn't be long. I thought, right, there's either going to be a wedding pretty much around the corner or a baby. Because I think she was quite vocal saying that even down to, like, she couldn't...
Birth control, wasn't it?
Yeah, even down to birth control. So the minute that was lifted, I think she's like, right, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little bit surprised as to how she did it, tweeting that. Oh no, she put Instagramming a little picture of like a teacup or something, didn't she? Okay, Brittany. And she kind of announced that her and her fiance Sam were expecting. Yeah, probably not that she wanted to have a baby. So this will be her third one. She just turned 40, so her third one at 40, and she's got two teenage sons from her ex Kevin, isn't she? So, I mean, she's kind of starting all over again, despite having done. That the motherhood thing in the past. So, I mean, I'm pleased for her. And I hope it all works out for her, really, because like you said, she's made it very clear that her life was very controlled under the conservatorship and her father. She wanted to be able to drive a car and go on holiday and change the colour of her kitchen and make decisions for herself and pay for things with the money that she's earned. And also on top of that, she wants to be able to get married and have a baby with Sam Asghari. So, you know, more power to her. I read a really interesting thing once where it was, well, around the time her conservatorship was coming to an end, where it was like, it doesn't matter that, like, what her, like, sort of state of mind is, it's her money to spend and she should be able to spend it however she wants. Like, and I'm kind of inclined to agree with that. There has to come a point where she gets to lead her own life, right? And she's doing
Absolutely. And I just think it's so sad. I mean, obviously, that there was a happy ending to this and it's been lifted. Amazing news for her that she's pregnant. But I think it's sad that almost, I wonder if she feels like she's lost them years. Although she continued to work and she was earning, really, and it's thankfully something so hard for a lot of us or the majority of us to get our heads around. I remember speaking to you about this when we've done showbiz gossip before. I never really knew the ins and outs of the terminology of having a conservatorship, and I don't think it's that big a thing over here in the UK. But I can't comprehend how someone could get up, go to work, and forget that it's Britney Spears, anyone, to be an adult, you're earning, you're working, and like you say, to not be able to choose the colour of your kitchen or if you want to have a bigger family. These are things that so many people almost take for granted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're such basic things that you can make decisions about for yourself.
Yeah, like that so many people just don't have to give a second thought to in sense of asking for permission.
Yeah.
So I think she probably feels that she's got a lot of time to make up for now. How many years was she under that conservatorship?
13 years.
So, and like you said, I think her boys now, this makes me feel old because I remember her being packed and naming babies. I think they're teenagers now.
Yeah, they are. I think one of them might even be like 16 or something. But I remember her being pregnant on the red carpet and, you know, doing a bit of a Rihanna back in the day. She was very proud of her bump, wasn't she?
And
good for her. But yeah, it's funny because I definitely remember her having the first two. It's funny when you start to get old, isn't it?
Definitely. And talking about feeling old, Brooklyn Beckham getting married. I remember David and Victoria. I remember their wedding, the purple, the thrones, her little bump. I think the last performance of Spice Girls. I think the last tour before they did like a reunion or anything. And it's just kind of mad. I think because I don't have children, I kind of see it with my friends' kids as well. I forget that kids kids get older, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
let's assume that kids stay kids. So it's a wake-up call. When it goes like, well, Brooklyn Beckham's getting married, and I'm like, wow, well, I remember his mum being packed with a bump. And
yeah. He's young, though, to be getting married, to be fair, isn't he? I think he's 22 or 23. I mean, that is pretty young to be walking down the aisle, wouldn't you say?
I think nowadays, yeah. Like, I think if you look back maybe 20, 30 years ago, maybe not so much, but I think people definitely, depending on what, I think the same with having children. So I think people sometimes wait a little bit longer, don't they, to start a family, whereas maybe more so back in the day, people did it younger. But they say when you know, don't they? And
certainly.
And it sounds like no money's been
no expense spared. Was spared. Yeah,
apparently nearly four mil. She's just mad because imagine. I mean, we've got to comprehend to them because to us, if you woke up, imagine waking up the next day on the Sunday, you know, shit, we've just done 4 mil yesterday. That's an and over and half to kind of get your head around.
Yeah.
But it's all relative, isn't it? Because I think it's been alleged that David bought, and I'm sure Victoria as well, bought him as his wedding present a 500 grand car. And I know a lot of people on social media was going, it's £500,000 it's announced, which, yeah, of course, it's so much money. It's a house and a half, isn't it?
Yeah.
A house, a car, depending on where in the UK you live. But to them, and we're not even just talking Beckham money, her dad's billionaire, isn't he?
I don't
know what David and Vicky are worth, and I wouldn't mind being a pound note behind him, but I think that the father-in-law's worth even more. So whether he paid or not, because it was tradition back in the day that the father of the bride used to pick up the bill.
Yeah, I mean, I would have imagined that he probably would have, being a billionaire. He probably would be like, yeah, 4 mil drop in the ocean. I do think something that's interesting, actually, was that they've gone for a double-barreled surname, haven't they? So he's now Brooklyn Peltz Beckham, and she's Nicola Peltz Beckham. Almost sort of diluting the Beckham brand a little bit, because I wonder why Brooklyn decided to go double back. Maybe they just decided it's old fashioned and they wanted to do something like, you know, they didn't just want her to become a Beckham and they wanted to keep Pelt's name as well. What do you think?
Well, we're so ahead of the game. Because if you remember, it was only a few weeks ago, we was talking about, should we ever get married? Would we double barrel it? Obviously, slightly different if in a same-sex relationship. But, I wonder, because, I guess in... when you think about it, and again, like we spoke about, I guess a lot of girls don't really give that a second thought. So when they get married, I mean, everyone, it's your choice if you don't want to, and I know a lot of people don't. But traditionally, so you would take the groom's surname. I think it's, I didn't see that coming. I don't think, well, you don't really give it a second thought, do you, to kind of double barrel it? But maybe she didn't want to give up her surname. And quite, because I think your name's such a huge part of you. And also, I think
if
she didn't want to give up her surname, I guess maybe it was because when the time comes that they start a family, should they start a family, maybe they want them all to have the same surname.
Yes, a fair point, yeah. And also, I guess as her dad's a billionaire, the Peltz surname has got its own sort of...
bit of clout.
Clout, exactly. Like you know, so I can see why maybe that's what they were thinking. So yeah, it's interesting. I'm intrigued to see what happens next for them both.
Do you think we'll hear the little tiny patter of feet coming soon? Little Brooklyn Pelts coming soon.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have Granny Victoria and Grandpa David. Oh, I mean, who would have thought?
What a definition of glamour will it be? Yeah. Imagine Vicky B as your nan.
That is going to be one pampered child, whatever.
She's going to give you more than a whatever's original, wouldn't she?
Yeah, 100%. Well, we have a very exciting show today. We have Johanna James from ITV show Deep Heat on up first. Then we have Freddie Bentley, formerly of The Circle. He's got some important stuff to discuss with us, actually. He's been the victim of a pretty terrible attack. So it would be really interesting to speak to him. And at the end of the show, we've got Ian Waite and Vincent Simone, former Strictly stars, who are going on tour. So it will be great to speak to them. But first off, we have Johanna, so let's get her in for a chat.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh,
there we are.
Here and not here.
Hello,
Hello, Johanna, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Really good, thank you so much for coming on this evening.
That's all right, a bit different, isn't it? Just not in the studio, what's going on?
Well, we were actually just saying, it's actually been 2 years, almost pretty much to the day since we've been doing this now virtually rather than in the studio. Me and Bob have been doing it together for, a year and a half? We've actually only hung out once in that whole time. So,
So
things are very different now. How have you been? What's been going down?
Good, yeah. Film the show. And I work a lot online. I do a lot of content creation online. So when I'm not trying to be an actor, I'm just making stuff on the internet, really.
What a nice life. Yeah, tell us a little bit about Deep Heat.
Oh, Deep Heat. It was amazing. So backstory, I lost my agent in the pandemic. They did a big cull and I was like, right, that's it. I'm not going to be an actor. I'll give up. And I kind of put that aside. And then I found a self-tape. So I sent off this self-tape, got a second audition, went and had this massive audition. It was quite long. It was like five scenes. It was like classic, like a panel of people.
God, you have to do that much for an audition? I'd be fuming.
Yeah, no. Well, this was the recall audition. So that means they really, really like you. It's going to be between you and a few people. And they've got to really just whittle down to see which one of you it is. So we went. It was one of those days in the summer that was like absolutely boiling. So I arrived and I was just like wet with sweat anyway.
You don't feel comfortable or your best on a day like that.
It was horrible. And so we went in, did the audition. And then I didn't hear anything for like 3 or 4 weeks. So I thought, oh, that's it. That's gone. That's bye then. And then I got a call to say that I got it. And I was like, I think I cried. I was outside at a train station and I burst into tears. I was like, and it was great. And then we filmed September to up to just before Christmas. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
And is that you're wrapped completely?
Yeah, we're wrapped. It's out. It's out on ITV2 every Monday at the moment.
So tell us a bit about Deep Heat for anyone that doesn't know.
So for anyone who doesn't know, Deep Heat, I know it sounds a bit like, you what? You're in what? Deep Heat is about a young girl called Holly, who I play, who's desperate to be a professional wrestler. And what's unique about Deep Heat is that it's a comedy with a bit of heart. But what's unique about it is that every single actor does all of their own wrestling. So we really did the wrestling. And we trained for like a month beforehand. And it's about Holly, and she's got some obstacles to get over because she, like myself, she's hard of hearing and she wears hearing aids. And so her mum is quite protective and won't let her wrestle. She will let her brother wrestle. And so basically the opening episode, her brother, Nick Nitro, leaves the wrestling company that her mum owns and takes all the good wrestlers and makes his own like kind of rival company. And Holly is left with all of the rubbish ones, really, like the newbies and the oldies, and we're all a bit crap. And so she makes the decision to try and run the company and get all of these like goonies up to scratch for Slammageddon at the end of the season. And so, yeah, each sort of the whole series is about, can Holly get to Slammageddon with the weirdos? And it was great.
And how did you find the wrestling side of it? Had you ever wrestled before?
Never.
Only in your private time.
Never. I know, only at home. But I was genuinely a wrestling fan. Me and my brother we've gone to WWE Live for years. We've traveled to Liverpool, traveled to Manchester, Glasgow, London. So we were wrestling fans anyway. So when I got the audition through, I was like, guys, genuinely, I am a wrestling fan. And so to actually get to do it was massively different. I have a whole respect for wrestling now. It hurts. It's serious. Like they say, oh, wrestling's fake. I'm like, well, yeah, it's perceived violence and obviously, the storylines and whatnot. But however, you can't fake jumping off the top rope. There's gravity involved and you are taking a back slam off, a 10-foot drop. Like, there's no way to kind of fake that. And it's called a bump, and you take many of them. And yeah, I took many a bump in this series.
I guess it has to be almost like a dance, very well choreographed. Oh, yeah, but yeah. It has to be, because you have to know when to jump. It's because all people say it's fake. I guess you can't just go in and start running around and just kind of.
Well, we choreographed everything to make it super safe. However, actual wrestlers, it's up to them. So apparently The Rock really liked to choreograph his stuff because he liked to kind of keep that sort of theatrics. However, a lot of wrestlers don't. They just like to go in, and you have to basically, it's like having a dance partner where you kind of all know the moves, but you don't know what's happening next. And there's like a communication and a trust. And so, yeah, some people just go in and wing it. And that's really impressive. I'm not at that stage yet. I need to know exactly when I'm getting flammed.
Might be the next series.
Maybe the next series.
What was the training like then? You said you had a bit of training before.
There's a fight school, a wrestling school in South London called Play Fight. And we went there and we trained like twice a week. Play Fight is brilliant. I thought they were going to go really easy on us. Absolutely not. They were like, right, so just sort of, you know, jump off this. This is how you bump. You know, you've got to keep your back straight, tuck your head in so you don't break your neck. Great, now do this. And they just taught us everything we were doing. Originally they said, don't worry, if you can't do anything, don't feel pressure because we will get like a stunt double in. And then by the time we finished the training, they were like, well, you actually completed everything we needed for camera. So do you want to just do your own stunts? And I was really like chuffed. I was like, yeah, absolutely, I don't mind. And then cut to like 6 weeks later and I'm taking my 20th bump for the day for the camera, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had a stunt double actually.
So did some injuries take place either for yourself or any of the cast? Did anyone really hurt himself?
I hurt my back in the rehearsal. I did something to my back, and it was the first time I ever went to physio. I got sent to physio, and physio did this, and they strapped me up, and then they did some sort of thing, and like they fixed, I did heal enough to keep wrestling. And then I hurt my knee, and we had this amazing medic guy who had this like magic spray. It was like a freeze spray, and literally you spray it and it just doesn't hurt anymore for about 20 minutes. So they were taping me up, spraying me up and getting back in the ring. I felt so hard. I felt like, you know, like there's that thing on the internet where people are going like, I want to go to war.
Like, spray me.
I feel masculine. Like it was, I felt epic. And you do get a certain amount of adrenaline. Like one of the scenes when we were shooting the big Slammageddon, we had like 100 extras in. They filmed like this little arena, a wrestling arena, and it felt very, and we had to come out and do entrances. And then before they said, oh, don't worry, we're going to shoot it sort of move to move to move. We'll do a move and then we'll move the camera, then we'll move again. And then the director came up to me and Richard Fleischman, who plays my brother, because I fought my brother in the finale. And he was like, right, would you mind doing just the whole thing? Just like the whole fight in one go. And we just film it all in one go and see where we go from there. And me and Richard were like, all right, let's wrestle. And then we made a little pact. We were like, right, let's go for it. Like, really hit me and I'll really hit you. Like, if we hurt each other, we hurt each other. Like, agree, spit shake. And we did it. And yeah, we were proper throwing each other around. And I think it pays off because in the actual scene, it looks like, even I'm watching it going, ooh.
Quite, you impressed yourself.
I'm a professional.
It's like, it really hurt.
So did you and Richard make a good friendship filming together? I guess playing brother and sister, the backstory is that you would have grown up with each other.
Yeah, we did. We immediately were like brother and sister. And Richard is like the sweetest man, and he plays like the biggest dickhead in the show. And he's nothing like Nick, which is, we did a bit of press before because I was saying that I'm actually quite like my character Holly. And it was just, there was so much similarity. And Richard was like, I just want to say I'm 100% not like Nick, because Nick is, he played such a good baddie. It was really easy to do scenes with him because I was like, oh, I want to actually hit you. But then the minute we stopped, he was just lovely and was like, so tell me about you. And like, ooh, and like, yeah. So Richard was brilliant. Everyone was brilliant. We had an amazing cast. I've got a name drop, our amazing cast, because I'm a nobody. And I was acting with like Alistair Petrie from Sex Education and Sharon Rooney from My Mad Fat Diary and John Thompson from Cold Feet. I was just like,
oh, yeah.
Great.
That's great.
Trying to act really cool. Like, yeah, hi guys. Hello.
Are you hoping then that this will lead to sort of other sort of TV stuff? Or what have you got coming up? Anything?
I would love to I'd love to get a second season, because what they did is they deliberately left out tag team matches, cage matches, and any weapons. So for a season two, so that we could like scale up the wrestling. So if we did get a season two, it means we get to bring in the chairs and all of that stuff. So that would be awesome. Currently my next project that's in the diary is I'm in a sort of running TV show called Four Deaf Yorkshiremen. It's a comedy TV series for BSL Zone, which is kind of like the deaf Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And that's really interesting because every single cast member is deaf or hard of hearing, and it's all in sign language. So that's a really different experience.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing.
You have to sign all of your lines.
Wow. Sounds like an impressive project, yeah.
And fingers crossed for season two.
Fingers crossed.
I bet you want to get in there now with the chair and the weapons.
I know.
You're a professional. You've done your training.
Yeah, you can see it.
And they leave it completely open. So, and I know what, I mean, I don't know what the process is. I've never done this before, but they ITV put all of the costumes and props into storage and the wrestling ring. So that's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
It wasn't straight on the bomb.
It went on eBay. Yeah.
I wanted to buy some of my clothes because I loved like some of the jackets I wore. And so I was like, oh, can I? And they were like, no, ITV are storing this. So I was like, oh, okay.
Well, like Bob said, keep our fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Johanna.
Oh, thanks, guys. It's been lovely
to see you. And yeah, best of luck. I hope we'll keep our fingers crossed for it.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Cheers.
Bye.
Ooh, wrestling, Bob. That's some tough stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not much of a wrestler, but I did do a show, I think, a year or so ago. And I had to get into basically a very large paddling pool, but like huge, more the size of like a small swimming pool, really.
Yeah.
And get thrown around in a paddling pool of lube by a
guy. I remember.
I think it was just in like a loincloth. So, and I was flapping around like a fish in the lube in a paddling pool.
Was this the thing with like the master or whatever it was called?
But I remember that the shock being picked up and thrown to the floor. If you're not used to it, it takes your breath away. It is a little bit like shit, like, which is to be expected. You've just been dropped 6 foot in the air.
Not normal behavior.
The fair play to all do their own stunts.
Yeah, good on them. And check it out on ITV2. Awesome. Well, our next guest, Freddie Bentley, is here, so let's get him in.
Hello.
Hello. Freddie.
How are we?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, Bob.
Yeah, more importantly, how are you? It's been people might know you from your turn on the circle, but you've had a bit of an experience of late, haven't you?
Yeah, I have had a mare. It has been a crazy couple of weeks, but I'm coming at the other end of it now at the moment. Yeah, I'm okay.
So for anyone that might not know, Fred, will you just tell us what happened and explain it all, babe?
So basically what happened, lads, is I was just on a night out. It wasn't late. It was about 8 p.m. in the evening. So it wasn't silly o'clock in the morning, and I was walking to the bar on my own, and I got a lot of homophobic slurs thrown at me, referencing to the shows that I've done, referencing to being on TV and obviously my sexuality. And I just, walked past them, ignoring it. But it just carried on throughout the night, and it somewhat just triggered me. And I ended up giving them peace of my mind, Bob.
And what happened from there?
So basically what happened was, so a drink's got thrown, it's all escalated very quickly, they've carried on with the homophobic chants and slurs and carried on screaming things at me. So I kind of, what, where I was on my own, my adrenaline just took over. I just felt like I was being pushed into a corner, and I just felt like I had to defend myself. So a drink did get thrown, and I did get escorted out by the bouncer, just because obviously the situation needed to be diffused. It was three grown men against me. And listen, Bob, you know me, I'm not an aggressive person. I'm always up for a laugh. But in that moment, I think what frustrated me is the fact that they thought I was vulnerable for being on my own. And they thought that me being gay was a downfall. But, you know, as a gay man, I'm so proud of being gay. I'm so proud that, you know, with my sexuality, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Do you find it bizarre to get your head around that still in 2022, as gay men, that homophobia, it still exists?
It's bizarre to think, Bobby, that, you know, we're in 2022 and people are so narrow-minded. I don't know why people think it's an insult by calling me, you know, gay this and gay that, or what, you know, whatever they want to call me, because I love the fact that I'm gay. You know, this is actually about me. I think my purpose and my point is that there are so many young gay people that aren't happy with their sexuality and battle with it daily. I think what was frustrating for me is that, if, you know, not everyone in our positions, Bob, you know, and aren't confident enough to say something, you know, I think it's okay to be spoken to and, like, have homophobic slurs thrown at them. These people didn't know me. They recognised me for the telly. And I fully respect that I've put myself out there to have have an opinion on. But for, you know, a young 16-year-old male, or female, or however you want to, you know, put yourself forward as, then people might not be able to stick up for themselves and defend themselves. And that's what I think upsets me the most. And that's why I, you know, made a bit of a scene out of it and a bit of a science and deal, because, you know, I've got a platform, and if we don't start doing something, then in 2050, this is what we're still going to be having the same chats.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. You said a bit of a scene and stuff outside. What happened once you were taken out by the bouncer?
So it escalated very quickly. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not an aggressive person at all. I'm always up for a laugh and a giggle. But, you know, I was escorted out in the bouncer. In the process of me getting escorted out, I've clipped the bouncer's face, because, you know, I'm frustrated at this point that I'm the one being carried out. I'm being carried out, and, you know, I was actually the victim, but I felt like was getting away with a homophobic slur, which infuriated me even more. The police then did get involved, and I was the one that was arrested. After watching CCTV coverage, obviously there's been no further action on all cases, and the other men, all three men, have been arrested, which is being taken care of at the moment. Obviously, I can't speak about it too much, but all I've been aware of is that they have been arrested, and that they're not taking, you know, they're not taking it lightly.
And that's all you can really hope for in those situations. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, shocking that these things are still going on. I mean, what have you learned from the experience, I guess?
You know, I've always tried to find my place and what I wanted to do with this platform. And I think more so than ever, it's been the biggest wake-up call for me. Even the way I carry myself, even the way, I have been nervous, and I haven't really left the house a great deal, because it has been, you know, it has scared the shit out of me, I'm not going to lie. But I just hope that, you know, any young gay or anyone that's part of my community, I can be a voice and help them. I'm speaking to a couple of charities at the moment, which, you know, anything I can do to help and raise awareness of this situation that's still happening. It's 20. The thing that does make me nervously laugh is the fact that it's actually 2022 and people aren't securing themselves enough that they have to try and drag other people down because of their sexuality. What I get up to the bedroom is no one else's business apart from myself. Yeah. you know, they're actually making an assumption that I am gay. I mean, I am gay and I am proud, but you can't go around digging people out for being themselves, something that they cannot help. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm frustrated mm-hmm. about.
And I just think it's sad that you even have to sit here and say that things like this need awareness raised. Yeah. You'd like to think that the world we live in, how far we've come, that it wouldn't be something that even needs to be made aware of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly that, Bob. And I think, do you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I was quite naive to it all. You know, obviously I know that, you know, homophobic behaviour does happen, but and you know, that you get the odd thing on Instagram, you know how it is. But to have it in person, I thought to myself, you have got so much nerve to think that you can bring me down as a person for something that I am probably the most proud of in my life, is the fact that I am proud and I'm gay and I, you know, love helping the younger generation with their sexuality and coming out. And I just thought, you think you can bring me down, but actually what's happened here is that you're not comfortable with who you are as a person, and you're just jealous that you can't be out there and happy like I am with myself. And I think that's what it comes down to.
And did the guys apologise? Did you get a moment before it escalated when you was outside?
We was very much kept separated, but I have been informed. Obviously, I can't say too much because it's still in, you know, that side of it. My side's been clear, but that side of it with the boys is still in happening with the police, because I am going to press charges and I am going to, you know, make a deal with this, because if I don't, or if we don't act on this, Bob, then who else is going to do it?
Yeah, I find, in fact, like stuff about it being 2022, I find it increasingly bizarre that, like, a group, did you say it was three men?
Three grown-ass men.
See, three men have never in their lives come across a gay person that, like, means that they think that, like, we're all some sort of, like, walking target, that they can just, I find it bizarre. We're all over the place. We're here, baby.
We're here with queer.
And fucking get used to it, you know? Like, we're not going anywhere. You will not keep us down by shouting at us in a bar or a restaurant or the street or in anywhere. So what do they think they're going to achieve? Just make you feel bad. That's what they wanted to do.
And it's exactly that. But, you know, thank God that, you know, after reviewing CCTV and, you know, hearing my side, the police have been, I must say, amazing. I was so scared that this was going to be made out into something that it wasn't, that I'd been, you know, I'd had a few drinks and I started on someone. It was just the fact that I'm actually confident and happy with who I am as a person. I thought, you know what? Because I was on my own at the time, that they thought they could pick on me on a vulnerable moment, because I've done TV, because I'm gay. I just want anyone to know out there that, you know, within reason, stand up for yourself and stand up for what you believe in. Because if we don't make a stand and people think they can speak to us the way they want, you know, and have so much fun, I think, you know, it's a sad situation, really. It is.
Well, thankfully, it didn't escalate and become any worse.
Bob, honestly, you can imagine it. I've had a right old mare, a fucking shit a brick, honestly, like... And listen, like I've said, you both met me. You both know what I'm like. I'm a happy soul. I'm not an aggressive or angry person. And for me to lose my temper the way I lost it, I was pushed to it. But thankfully, it's all sorted.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah, definitely. Are you hoping to put it behind you? What's next for you?
Yeah, I mean, I have put it behind me. Obviously, I have, you know, spoken to the police about the situation with the boys. That's still in process at the moment. But, yeah, no, I've put it behind me. I think it has obviously caused me a little bit of anxiety, obviously, because I've never been started on that for my sexuality. Obviously, I've had people shout people things out on the street for, like, doing this and doing that, of course, but never been attacked for my sexuality. So it did knock me for six, do you know what I mean? But, no, listen, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I know that, you know, this has happened to me for a reason, and... I'm going to make something useful out of it and, you know, try and turn this negative into a positive. And anything I can do to raise, or it's not even about raising awareness. It's about educating people that are so narrow-minded about people's sexuality. What this is coming down to is what people get up to in a bedroom and how they like to express themselves. And people actually lose sleep because other people are with men, and it's ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous. It needs to be said more.
Yes, definitely.
So what else, I mean, other than this, what else has been going on in your world recently?
Oh, do you know what? I've been keeping busy. I'm now a presenter on TikTok, guys. So
amazing.
I've been super, super busy. I went to see there's something about Jamie. Everyone's talking about Jamie last week on the theatre. And oh, my God, what a show. Really, really inspiring. And I've just got a new car as well. So
living the dream.
Blessed and busy is what I like to say. Blessed and busy.
I love that. No, that's great. And it's a shame that something like this has to happen to you to appreciate how good things are elsewhere in your life, you know.
That's it, Stephen. That's it. But listen, at the end of the day, it, like I said, whatever happens in life, my life's already planned out for me. I'm a big spiritualist. I'm, you know, a big believer in the universe and angels. And I know that this was meant to happen for other things to, you know, evolve and grow. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
Oh, well, thankfully, like I say, I'm glad you're well and that it didn't become any worse. Now, go and enjoy that motor.
Thank you, sir. I will go.
Thanks so much.
Take care, Fred.
See you later. Bye.
It's terrible, isn't it, that these things are still going on. I think I've been very lucky in my life. I can count on one hand the amount of time that anything seriously dangerous has happened. Probably not even that. I feel very lucky. But yeah, it's just, it can be really shit out there for people, can't it?
Oh, God, absolutely. And like I say, I genuinely blows my mind that we're as far on in so many ways. Don't we? We're talking about building hotels in space and like how far the world's evolved. You know, if you think about it, like our lives, like we can pay with a watch. Apparently, you can have a chip in your hand to pay now if you forget your debit card. And still, something as basic as a sexuality is even people can't get their head around that, but can get their head around Alexa picking a song or Google telling you something that you used to have to go to a library for when you was younger.
Yeah, the world's moved on and everyone should move on with it, I think.
But we'll go build a 5-star hotel on the moon and we can understand that. Like I say, thankfully it wasn't any worse.
Yes, that's very true. Right, our final guests of the evening are here, Ian Waite and Vincent Simone. So let's get them in.
Perfect.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, hurrah. Do you need extra light on us? Because maybe this is too much.
It's like you're in a tunnel and a car's coming towards you.
It's that like in Italy.
Ian, Vincent, how are you doing?
Yes, we're very well, thank you. Yeah, we just finished our rehearsals.
Ah, yes.
How's it going, the rehearsals?
How are they going, Bella, rehearsals?
Yeah, well, mine's good. I don't know about yours, but...
it's good.
You've got a new one, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a new woman. Nothing changed there. No. But, it's always nice, you know, variety is the spice of life. There's no life without variety. So it's good. It's back. It's nice to be back on stage. You know, yeah. The floor was a bit rough, but we do like a bit of rough, don't we?
Well, you do, apparently.
Ooh, ah.
And is it difficult when you change partner? Like you say, you get a new dance partner, woman, man. Is it? You kind of got to have that moment of getting to know each other and that style of dancing. So I guess it is quite almost an intimate thing, isn't it, dancing?
It is. Usually takes a while, doesn't it? I mean, my previous partner, Flavia, I danced with her for 25 years.
Insane, I mean,
I could have killed the woman. I would have been out of prison by now. Forget about Putin. So this one, it's only been like a week. Yeah. So we're doing really, really well.
You are, yeah. I mean, I wasn't really worried because I had the dance partner from before. And we'd done this show for 3 months in the autumn. Mm-hmm. But I was more worried about the chat because we do a lot of a lot of monologues and a lot of comedy between the two of us. And if one of us forgets one line, then that's it. Like, over. Mind you, we do feed each other, don't we? No, sometimes what happens is he'll forget a line, so I have to feed it to him whilst we're on set. I can remember you're going to ask me this question.
I look at him and say, Bella, what's next? What's next? Bella, speak to me.
I see this blank expression on your face.
It's lovely.
In terms of the moves, when it comes, is it that the words are harder to remember than the dance moves?
Yeah.
Well, I think what happens with the dance moves is they're just, as soon as the music comes on and you start moving, it's almost like you're possessed by something because you actually, your body just does them and you think, God, shit, excuse me, I'm not allowed to swear, am I? I think I got in trouble last time. Your body just gets possessed and all of a sudden you're doing the steps and you think, well, if I had to teach it, there's no chance I'd teach it because I wouldn't be able to remember it. But my body just does it, when we get out there with the music.
Sorry, Bob, go on.
I was going to say that almost like, I mean, obviously concentrating, but when you get in a car, sometimes you get someone, you don't even think about driving, even though you're concentrating.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so automatic.
Or in the bedroom, you know what to do anyway. It's the same thing, isn't it? You know?
If you say so.
To my audience, this is what I said to my female audience.
Well, they're too old, our audience.
They're all too old now. But then I said, if I could do this on the dance floor, imagine what I can do in the bedroom.
Wow.
They love that.
Why they're always at stage door.
One lady said, oh, Vincent, your tango shoes will look amazing under my bed, in my bedroom.
I mean, this is an ideal crowd, really, isn't it, for you guys? Yeah. I can see why, yeah. So what can people expect from the show? So there's a bit of comedy, there's some dancing.
So we've got a lot of variety in there. You know, there's a lot of Strictly shows on and they're like 2 hours of dancing, whereas ours not like that, is it? Maybe it's because we're more mature.
You can't be asked to do 2 hours a day.
Well, it's like, there's only 5 of us in the cast. There's us and our dance partners, and we've got an amazing singer who's a very musical theatre, because a lot of the show is themed around musical theatre shows and songs. But it's more about entertaining the audience. And we always say this is like the show for the man that's been dragged along by his Strictly...
His wife.
Yeah. His wife, who's a big fan of Strictly. You know, because we have a lot of comedy in there. There's quite a lot of sort of near-the-knuckle jokes, isn't there? And obviously we have our standout performances. Like his Argentine Tango. And my brilliant ballroom dances and sizzling Latin. But it's more variety. We do a comedy dance together, don't we?
Yeah, we dance together, believe it or not. I mean, I don't know if you know how tall this guy is. It's like a giraffe.
You want to stand?
When he walks on stage, he picks
stand
up those.
Stand up. See, I have to put him on a bolster seat.
Honestly.
Yeah, he was like, I'm on the little buffet and he's on the...
I'm only 5'2", plus BAT though.
So it's a fun show to do and like going up and down the country and seeing the various audiences. If they like old school and old school Strictly, which we are, there's not many of us around, us and Anton. Anton Dubec.
Oh, is he still alive? Oh my gosh, he's alive! Are you for real?
No. Just holding on.
Yeah, he is.
Talking of Anton.
Yeah, he's working.
That's the news.
Do you think he'll be coming back as a judge this year to Strictly? Because he finally got there. I mean, I think he's one of the years, don't they? Is Bruno coming back?
Well, they've not announced Anton as a pro dancer, so we assume that he's going to come back as a judge. I don't think they've been asked yet. You know, everybody's always asked quite late, and I don't think the judges have been booked yet, which is bizarre to me. Surely you'd know by the beginning of the year whether you want them later on in the year. So,
yeah. So I think he did a brilliant job last year.
Yeah. And I think he's sort of, he's sort of a Len character, isn't he? You know, he's got a great character. He's very old school.
He knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about sometimes. Yeah. And we love Anton. He's brilliant. He's a good addition.
And I guess as well, being a judge that's been the other side, knows exactly what the pros are going through, what the celebs have gone through. So it kind of brings something different to the panel.
Yeah, that's true. I will hate to be a judge.
Why?
Because I only love to talk about me. I don't want to talk about anybody else. I'm wasting my time. No,
this is the professionals of Strictly Come Dancing. This is exactly it, isn't it? We want to talk about ourselves and our dancing.
Yeah, they only care about themselves. Yeah. That's why they've done so well, all the pros.
But our egos are too big.
They're not like this on Dancing on Ice. No. You know? Those pros, they're not like... We've got much bigger egos.
Yeah, they used to use two cameras to record us in the BTs, one for our bodies and one for our ego. Yeah. Two, it won't fit in one camera.
Well, I've heard all the rumours about what goes on behind the scenes, so yeah, I can imagine that maybe it's true.
Well, it goes on, Strictly stays behind Strictly.
Well, show in itself, just Vincent.
Well, there's been times where I did, and then luckily I was asked to go back to choreograph the Argentine tangos for the couples, and I'm glad I did, because when I decided to leave with Flavia to go into the West End and everything, I was a bit doubting myself. Then I went to do the jungle with your friend Joey Essex. I was like, considering...
You say he's a friend just because he's been on the same show. What does it mean to say he's a friend?
Well, they speak the same language.
Colleague.
I mean, it's like me saying to you, you're like...
I love that.
That's like saying, oh, you're a good friend of, Giovanni.
Well, it's just because they speak the same language same country. Essex is a different country, isn't it?
It's true. It is, really.
I think it probably is.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, bud.
So, going back on Strictly, I actually choreographed for the couples, gave me the final decision to say, oh, thank goodness I left, because the days are so long. Training with your partners, literally the whole week, the whole month.
In our era, we were only doing like 12 hours a week. We could do it, and they were like doing bare minimum. Now they're doing like 40 to 50 hours a week. I mean, it is ridiculous. Yeah. They work so much harder, don't they? That's why they're better now.
Do you think they are?
Yeah, I think they're amazing now. Yeah. But I think, you know, a lot of the celebs that go into it, I mean, obviously the pros are not better, but the celebs going into it are kind of, they're already clued up. They know what they're going in for. They know if they're a good dancer or not. And they'll put themselves up if they're good.
I always think it's funny with Strictly is you can tell that at the halfway point when everyone started to flag a little bit because they didn't. Maybe they weren't anticipating they were going to do that well, and suddenly they're on like week 7, and they're like, "Woo! Yeah. I've got to do this on my other job and all that sort of thing." So
it does get really hard.
But thinking out there, no, because all these big reality TV shows now, so many people have done it. People have friends. They call each other and they ask what it's like, and they say, it's going to be hard. You need to work. They didn't know. Yeah. At the beginning, they didn't know. You did year 2. And the people didn't even know.
No, I did year 1. We did 2 seasons in the first year. So, yeah.
2 seasons in 1 year?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
First year, 2004, we did the spring. That was the first series. And then we did the autumn. Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing, though, how, I mean, last year was quite an iconic year for Strictly. But it's incredible. Every year, they just up their game. Considering the show's been on, like, what is it, 14 years now?
I think we're on season 19, actually.
19?
Really?
So it's been 18 years.
18 years. And you think it's become so diverse, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going. What would you like to see from the show, say, this year or next year? Like, do you like how the show's going and evolving?
Well, you know, it's been amazing, being a gay man myself, to see... Did you know that?
No. Are you gay?
Tours cancelled.
I just want to say this there. I'm not gay. My boyfriend is.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to see John and Johannes out there. When they came out that first week, I mean, they came out a long time ago, but when they came out the first week with that tango, it was just, definitely. I mean, it made me want to cry. And also to make final, You know, because actually, back in our day, I couldn't have done that because it wasn't accepted. Yeah, even then, you know, and it wasn't that long ago that they wouldn't risk it with the audience. But now, you know, everybody accepts it and it's kind of normal.
Yeah.
Hopefully, what I would like to see this year is a male duo and a female duo. So both. Why not?
Yeah, I like to watch the female duo and be there. Because you know what my favorite position is? The 70.
Why? Why the 70?
A 69 plus someone watching. Okay.
I've never heard that, but I'm going to take it.
Yes. You always heard, don't you?
I've heard that, you.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I really embarrassed myself quite drunkenly. I was watching it with my auntie and her husband when John and Johannes came out. And then I did start crying. My uncle was like, Jesus, calm down. It's just a TV show. You know, but I'm like, but you don't understand what representation means to people.
Yeah,
you know,
it was such a special moment. And also, obviously, with Rose and Giovanni doing that piece that went silent at one point, and we were able to imagine it, how she is feeling it and experiencing
it. You thought the TV was broken.
Banging the telly, yeah,
no.
I can see.
Yeah. No, but I would have liked to dance with Rose, but they said no, because our couple name would be Waitrose, so they wouldn't.
Fair point.
Think of the hashtag ads you could get now on social media.
Can't do that with the BBC, can you, Bob? That's the problem. Can't be getting Waitrose sponsored ads.
You can't be getting the spons.
Tell us, the tour kicks off when?
So we actually start this Thursday on the 14th of April. We're in Worcester right now at the Premier Inn, as you can see by the purple light.
Lovely. Yeah, the purple. I thought as much. Yeah.
We're allowed to advertise that? Oh, too late. We're really looking forward to it because we were actually 2 years ago, just before COVID struck, we did all our rehearsals, pre-rehearsals in Worcester, and we were about to open in this theatre. We did our dress run and then we closed down for a year and a half. So 2 years later, we're back here to do the show. So a lot of those people that are actually got the tickets have had them for 2 years. So
they're still alive.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an Anton show.
And after the last 2 years, everyone wants more than ever, don't they, to go and see something live.
So I know, exactly.
Where can we get tickets if we're looking for them, and when are you on tour until?
So there's the website, www.theballroomboys.com, and it's got all our dates and a link to all of the theatres to book the tickets. So, we're doing a UK tour and we're doing Ireland, so we're very excited about
that. It is a beautiful show. Honestly, we're proud of it because we're so professional. We care about what we do, and the people are never going to regret it. They're going to love it, and we know.
Yeah, and it's a very intimate show. You know, we like to get the audience involved. Yeah. And just have a good time. No touching.
Only window shopping.
COVID
only
secure.
Window shopping. Yeah, only window shopping without licking the window.
This sounds like a fab night out.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, exactly. Story of my life.
Well, boys, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And best of luck.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
No, thank you.
Take care. Best of luck.
Guys. Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks, Bobby.
Bye. Bye. I mean, sounds like a brilliant show, to be honest.
Doesn't it just? A bit of everything, I think.
And you're right.
A bit of music.
It's funny because my when I saw Sophie Ellis-Bextor, that would have been 2 years in the making, you know. So, you know, a lot of people are suddenly starting to go and see those things they've been planning on for a long time. So, yeah, exciting. Glad that they're back. Well, what a lovely show, as ever. What really have we got coming up this week, Bob? Anything exciting?
What is this week?
The Easter weekend.
Easter weekend, yeah. So I'm taking Mum to the theatre this weekend on Saturday. So that'll be it. Gosh, yeah, it's good. Oh, I didn't realise. I never know. Is it just me that never knows when Easter is? Because doesn't it change?
It changes every year. Yeah.
You know, like Christmas is normally like the 25th of December.
Yeah, yeah.
I can get my head around that.
It's not normally like it is dislikes.
Yeah, so every year is different. So who's deciding every year when it is? Well, anyway, that's another story.
Good
but
point.
Basically, I didn't know it'd come around so quick. But really nice. I'm taking Mummy Norris to the theatre on Saturday. be with the fam Sunday, Easter Sunday, and then catching up with some friends Monday for a nice little bank holiday Monday. The weather's meant to be really nice.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Yeah, how about you, babes?
Probably sleeping off my difficult week. No, I've got some plans in to see some friends and go to some brunches and just generally have a nice time, really. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Perfect bank holiday weekend. When do you finish in the office? Thursday?
It'll be, well, in the office Wednesday, but I'll be home on Thursday. And then, nice. Yeah, it'll be, so it's nice to have the four-day week, 4 days off, another 4 day week. I mean, you can't complain about that, can you?
I mean, that's lovely, isn't it?
Figures should be like that all the time, to be honest. I'll be well up for that.
Sounds good to me.
Well, great show. Until next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.